Welcome back to the Wavy Podcast. I'm your host, Gemma, as well as the managing editor of thesoundtrack.ca. So this week, I'm going to be chatting about the hashtag Free Britney movement. There's been a new documentary that came out about this whole situation. And I just thought it'd be an interesting conversation. So with me today, I have Emma Furrier. She runs her own music page, usually chatting about vinyl and such. Emma, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good, Gemma. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm just, as I was kind of telling you before we started recording, I'm just feeling really tired. It was a long weekend. It was my boyfriend's birthday. It was Valentine's Day. So the bad snacks were happening. The drinks were flowing. I think I needed a little like detox.
I'm the same way. Valentine's Day couldn't have fallen at a more perfect time that we had today to kind of recuperate.
Right? How was your weekend?
It was good. It was honestly pretty chill. You know, things are still not great here with COVID, so there's not too many options. I got takeout. Hung out with the fam. My dog was my Valentine this year.
Aww. What did you get for takeout?
We got Mexican.
Fantastic. The best. Yeah. Always amazing.
And margaritas to go, which was more amazing.
I've been like wanting to do that. I don't know if you guys have Lone Star in the States.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's they like sell these little cocktail kits and like with like tacos and stuff. And I've been wanting to get one for a while. So that makes me
do it.
Really want to. You're in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, I'm about like 15 minutes outside of Boston.
Cool. Do you want to, I guess, tell the listeners a bit about yourself and, you know, where you kind of fall in the music scene?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Emma. I run a Instagram page called Emma's Jammin', which started as a quarantine project, kind of a passion project on the side to, you know, distract me from the events of the world. I've always been a huge music fan since I could talk. I grew up in a very musical household. I grew up with all my parents' old vinyls and their love for music and all my parents' old cool stories from back in the day. So I kind of, once I started making money of my own, I began my own record collection. And I've actually been fortunate enough to steal all my parents' old records.
Wonderful.
So I call them my own now. And so I also write on the side, kind of like a freelance music journalist. I write for a site called Rock and Roll Reports. So yeah, that's what I do.
Fantastic. How many records do you have in your collection?
I don't know the official number. I probably should count because I get asked that question all the time, but I'd say like maybe under 200.
Oh my God. That's amazing. I'm like not even close to that.
It's expensive. You have to kind of go at your own pace.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome though. I really like how you were influenced by your parents and such, and how they could pass down old records to you. I'm sure you have some cool ones in there. That's so dope. As for myself with vinyls, so I always wanted a record player, like I think all through high school, which is like when I really really got into music. And then I told myself I'm not getting one until I'm a stable adult with like a house and like, you know, a full-time job, because like I'll spend all my money on records. And I ended up getting a record player as a gift for my grad about a couple years ago. So that, you know, kind of just happened, but I've actually been pretty good about not spending too much on records. I find if I go into the record store, that's when I'm buying them the most, but like I don't often order many vinyls online. I've ordered a few.
I'm the total opposite.
Really?
Oh my God, quarantine has been so bad for my bank account. I'm just online all the time and I see them and they're always releasing them in pretty new colors. And especially being part of the music community on Instagram, everyone's constantly posting. Do you feel that way, that you like, you see someone's posting, you're like, oh my God, wait, I need that too. Or I didn't know about that.
You know what? I'm like that a lot with clothes. Sometimes, sometimes like, I have pretty good willpower about the vinyl and seeing other people's. It's more so from bands directly, like you were saying, when they release them in like cool colors and stuff, that's been drawing me in a bit more. But yeah, I feel you. I personally, like, when I go into the record store and like I see it physically and like I'm holding it, I'm like, this is great. Like, I need this. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
I'm worse with like online shopping for clothes, to be honest. Yeah.
But yeah, I just, anything, I need to step away from the computer sometimes.
Yeah, I feel that. I wish there was a way to like shut off ads on social media, but
I know they know what we want.
Exactly. Yeah, I bet after this episode I'm gonna get like served a bunch of vinyl or clothing ads.
I know, freaky.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess we'll get into the Britney side of this podcast. So the documentary was called Framing Britney, and it kind of was a summary of like the conservatorship she's under and kind of the media scrutiny she faced through all of her career and such. It was like hosted by Hulu, right?
Yeah, it was New York Times Presents.
Right.
But they had the contract under Hulu.
Right. Okay.
Full ownership of the documentary.
Okay. Yeah. I watched it on YouTube illegally. So I wasn't 100% sure. What did you think of it?
I was blown away by it because it's something that you've heard of on social media for, you know, months and months and months, if not years. There's always been the Free Britney hashtag, and it's something that you see, but you don't really know all the ins and outs of. So I was really, you know, excited to see this documentary, which, looking at it retrospectively now, I feel kind of bad that it was used as something of excitement when it's really just very sad.
Yeah.
But I was obsessed with watching it multiple times. Each time I found that I watched it, I found like a different angle to look at it through. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. I love that with movies. So, you know, you watch it and you find kind of something new or some kind of new perspective after each watch. I actually need to give it another watch, to be honest. I kind of haven't wanted to rewatch it just because it made me feel really like sad, to be honest.
It was so sad.
Yeah, but I do need to give it another watch. Yeah, I was really excited to watch it as well. I felt like it was a really good intro for people who, I guess, don't know a lot about her, a lot about the conservatorship and such. Right. Did you know a lot about it before watching it or not really?
I wouldn't say I knew a lot. I was by no means an expert. Like, some of her fans are so invested in it.
Yeah.
I knew what a conservatorship was. I just didn't know how it applied to her life exactly.
Right.
And I didn't realize that she's been in this for 12 years now, which is mind blowing.
Yeah, I've been familiar with the situation. I'm not like a super fan. I guess I was hoping it was going to tell a bit more. It felt a little bit surface level for me, but at the same time, they dug deep into a few different things that I didn't know about, like even showing her assistant, like Felicia Kulota, I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. I didn't know anything about that. There was a few other things that we'll get into, but it was just cool to dig a little bit deeper. And I thought the New York Times did a really great job on it.
It showed a more personal side of her as well, I think, that the media never portrayed her as.
So
in the beginning of the documentary, they showed her roots of how she started when they had Felicia discussing how she was assigned to be Britney's assistant, kind of like her guardian. And it really showed how she was just this innocent young girl, you know, from the middle of nowhere. And she was like a real sweetheart, but also that she had control, which I thought was a really interesting way to kind of paint the narrative, to show that it didn't always start out this way. She wasn't a puppet or some like brainwashed pop star that the media kind of portrayed her to be. It was the media and just people in general who ended up kind of turning it and making it that way, which was really unfortunate to kind of watch that demise.
Yeah, I felt like it seems as though she did have some control, but at the same time, it kind of seems like she was really thrown into this industry at such a young age. And I have such a difficult time just thinking of like child actors and singers from like an ethical perspective. Like, I just think of it if that was my kid, I don't know how, I guess, willing she was to do that stuff as a younger child, but I don't know, something about it just felt so off. And then hearing about how her dad was kind of talking about how he would profit from it and like wanted to buy boats and stuff with the money, like, it kind of felt like, did you guys do this purposefully to profit off of it? Probably. Like, it's just kind of gross.
I mean she did have the passion for it. Like, Felicia said multiple times how much she truly loved it, and she went on the Mickey Mouse Club, how that was like the best time of her life, and how when it ended she was just kind of crushed and then had to go back to school and go back to that normal life, which I had no idea that she went back to high school and finished after the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that at all. I thought that was pretty neat, to be honest. Like, how like, wild would that be? That's so like Hannah Montana, but like,
I don't know how that was for her though. They didn't really dive too deeply into that. It must have been really hard for her socially.
It really must have. I was so disturbed about that one interview where she was like maybe 10 years old, and then that guy was like asking her, do you have a boyfriend, would you want me to be your boyfriend? I was like, ew.
She was 10 years old. It was like brand new to her. The one question he asked her the second he put the microphone up to her after her performance, it wasn't anything about her, the start of her career, about why she loved to sing. It was nothing about her. It was, do you have a boyfriend? Which I just thought was so toxic, and it just made me so uneasy. And they even showed other interview clips kind of as she progressed into her career and got older. It was always about her sexuality, and it was never about her in her career, which is what it was. It was a career. It wasn't anything more than that.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's sad. They've like just totally sexualized her through her whole life. And it's like, that would totally mess you up. It's just kind of sad to see her be bullied, and it's like, obviously that's going to take a mental toll on someone. And then also this like obsession with her virginity, like whether or not she was a virgin. I think
they would never ask a man that question.
I know, exactly. And it's just gross. Like, that's personal, and like it's like she said it once, that's what she, you know, is, that's the way she's living her life. Like, just respect that. And it's sad because she's so talented, such a good voice, and they have to focus on that. Like, just such a shame. There was a lot of stuff that was kind of open-ended though, like the kind of this question of, was she unfit to be a mother? What was wrong with her? We still don't know. All we know is the paparazzi photos, and
exactly, we don't know her life or what was really going on behind closed doors. And I think the lawyer said that too. I'm blanking on his name right now. His last name was Streisand, and he said, we don't know what we don't know.
Exactly.
That's kind of a great way to kind of sum it up. Like, as much as this documentary revealed, there's still so much that we will probably never know, and we just kind of have to make peace with that.
Exactly. What I found interesting was when they were talking, or he was talking about how they had met, and Brittany said, you know, I know there's no way I'm going to be able to get out of this conservatorship. Like, to me, that's interesting. And I don't think she should be in a conservatorship. Like, there's parents who are drug addicts, and they still have, like, they're not under a conservatorship.
It's designed for elderly.
Exactly. But I'm just curious why she said, I know I'm not gonna be able to get out of this.
There's definitely more behind the picture that she knows, obviously.
From my perspective, it's either she was very, very manipulated by her dad and whoever else that she had to do this, or she has like some very, very, very severe mental health issues. Right. I found that intriguing.
That was another thing too, that in the beginning of the documentary, they made it clear that when Brittany had her mental health issues and her children were taken away from her, the infamous shaving of her head, which was just, that's a whole other conversation to go into, but it was supposed to be temporary. It was supposed to be just while she checked herself into a mental health institution, got her bearings together. It was never supposed to be 12 years. And the fact that now she's stuck in it really goes to show the true intentions of the people behind it. And her father too. I think it's kind of the pot calling the kettle black there a little bit, because her father has been an alcoholic his whole life. He's been out of rehab and he went bankrupt. So why is he the one that's able to control her finances and all of her personal decisions when he himself isn't exactly the perfect role model either?
Yeah, I feel like just because of how much money she is worth, like millions and millions of dollars. Personally, I think that's what it's all about. And I think it's right. Just people trying to get a slice of this huge pie and have manipulated her.
I also wonder how much she's been brainwashed herself into truly believing that this is what she needs and that she's unfit or she can't have control. I wonder how much she actually has believes of that. If she
exactly
needs it.
I also found that it was so gross how they had that one lawyer speaking in the beginning of the film. It was a woman, and she was talking like hypothetically about the case, and then that ended, and then they like showed a screen with writing saying that she went back on the case like to represent her dad. And I was like, really, lady? Like, just gross what people will do for money.
No one's loyal.
Exactly. I also found it interesting when they showed the clip of her, the announcement for like her Vegas residency and how she just walked.
Yes.
I feel like that was almost like a form of like protest or something. Yeah. Does that make sense? And then it ended up just not happening. So I felt like she almost never wanted that or something.
Well, it didn't happen then. That was another thing that I found a little misleading in the documentary, was that they never went on to say that she did still do a Vegas residency. They made it sound like she just she just wasn't going to do whatever her father told her to do. And she is refusing to work until things change with the conservatorship, but she still did a Vegas residency. And it was one of the most successful that they've ever had there.
Yeah. That's right. I got a little confused there because I thought it was like a second one or something. Yeah, but now I'm realizing it was all the same. So that's actually very misleading because I was confused by that.
I might have missed a year that they gave. I'm not sure exactly when the clip they showed was supposed to be from. I don't know if that was before or after she did do the residency, but it was all part of her comeback. So I think it was probably the first one that she was going to do. But then she checked herself in supposedly right after that. She just disappeared after that small little appearance that she made. They canceled the residency. She disappeared, went off the face of the earth. And then they said she supposedly checked herself into a mental hospital. But there was no evidence that it was her decision. It may have been forced on her. That's just something we won't know.
I feel like it wasn't forced on her because I feel like they just want to milk her for any money they can get. Right. Maybe that was a way of her getting out of it, but.
Yeah, that's true. Because this whole time, all she's wanted was to regain control. She's a human being. She rightfully deserves to have control. And that reminds me of another thing too. When they showed the interview clip with her older brother, that really rubbed me the wrong way because he was kind of making a joke of it all. I don't know if you remember, but he basically said like, oh yeah, kind of rolling his eyes, like the women in this family, like they're really strong-minded or whatever, like they want to have control. And it sounded really misogynistic to me the way he said it and kind of made a joke of her conservatorship. Like, yeah, like of course she wants out of it. So, I mean, she's a human being. Her gender shouldn't have anything to do with her being stuck in a conservatorship or not having control of her life. She's a human being.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm not going to lie. I didn't even know she had a brother.
I didn't either.
Like, I was like, who's this? I feel like, I feel like he probably just did that interview for money, to be honest with you, which is gross. Yeah.
They all came out of the woodwork, like even her dad. He wasn't a strong figure in her life until she was vulnerable.
Yeah, of course. What are your thoughts on the whole Justin Timberlake situation?
Oh, man. So I'm going to put it on the record now that I absolutely love Justin Timberlake.
Me too.
He was my first celebrity crush growing up. I was like NSYNC everything. I still have the NSYNC and Britney Spears when they did like a joint tour together. I have the live concert on VHS and that was
like, oh my
gosh. I was obsessed with that. So obviously I was very young at the time. I was born in 97, which is the year that Britney released her first single. So I don't know too much about it at the time, but looking back on it now, it is very clear that he did not help the situation at all. He clearly fueled the media to kind of run riled with the narrative that she cheated on him, that she was, can I say a slut?
She was a slut.
He fueled that rumor. And when he was confronted about it, he laughed it off. And I didn't think that was cool at all, but I do think that it's great that he has since come forward and is trying to make amends. I know throughout a lot of her recovery, he's reached out to her. It's obvious he cares about her, but I think he was just young and naive and kind of blinded by everything else that was going on too.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's two sides to every story. What do you think about it?
It pisses me off a lot. Like, you know, he obviously was like a young, stupid guy, but it's just, I don't know. He like obviously being her boyfriend knew that her protecting like her privacy about her virginity was important to her. So for him to go and like, well, first of all, the song and like targeting her, that's wrong, but kind of expected, not saying it's okay, but like I'm not surprised, but I think taking it that step further and saying I slept with her, whether he did or he did not, like God, like that makes me like so angry. Like the media already, you know, are coming at her like wolves, treating her like garbage, and you know you're creating a huge headline and a huge like change to her brand and privacy by exposing that information, which a part of me is like, was that even true, you know?
Yeah.
And regardless of whether it is or it isn't, that's someone's private personal life and there has to be boundaries, and like you're disgusting for doing that.
He supposedly loved her, even if she did break his heart. We'll never know what went down in their relationship, and that's honestly none of our business. That's between the two of them.
Yeah.
But to purposely know what you were saying and kind of sending like the wolves to attack her for someone you loved, I just thought that was a low blow.
Yeah, 100%. But it's like, I'm not surprised, just knowing how boys are in high school.
Yeah.
Thank God. Like the worst.
Though that's still, he should be held accountable, which I'm glad that is what's happening.
Yeah, I'm a huge Justin Timberlake fan as well, but I'm just okay. First of all, those photos that came out last year of like him with that co-star, that pissed me off a lot. And now this, and this is old news, but like I'm kind of just mad at him, you know, like, and then he posted that apology, but okay. It was like to Britney and Janet Jackson. I don't know much with this Janet Jackson situation, but I just felt like you should have addressed those things separately. Like, come on, dude. Like,
it was two completely opposite issues. He shouldn't group them together thinking that all the little things, or not little things, but all the separate things he's done can form into one apology is not right, because you hurt different people.
Exactly.
Different reasons behind your actions for both things. Like, it just seems kind of like an easy way out.
100%. I honestly, I don't even know what the Janet Jackson situation is. I saw zero headlines about it.
Oh, that was a long time ago. That was like 10 years ago. It was during he did the Super Bowl. I don't know if they made that as big of a thing in Canada as they did in the States, but basically they performed together, him and Janet Jackson, during the Super Bowl halftime show. And in the choreography, he was kind of supposed to like rip her jacket off of her, and he literally ripped her shirt off, and he had a little nudity situation going on, which is not okay for national television, let alone the Super Bowl. And there was a lot of controversy behind that. His intentions, he didn't seem too sorry about it at the time. Kind of treated it as a joke and a headline grab and something that got the performance even more attention.
Of course.
Yeah. So that was, and that has nothing to do with Britney. Not even relatively close. So one thing may have been an accident, but the way he treated Britney certainly was not an accident.
No, I'm not someone who likes to, you know, judge someone based on like their past mistakes, like forever. Like I like when I see a tweet from someone from 7 years ago, I'm not like, oh, you're canceled. Like people mm-hmm. change, and I get that. But just the way he addressed this situation, I'm just like, you haven't changed. Like, yeah, and you're not sorry. You're not sorry. You're sorry you got caught. Like, you're sorry that you got called out in the media right now. Like no. Maybe he has made private apologies to them. I'm not sure, but I'm just kind of grossed out in how he acts publicly as of the recent years.
And that's another thing that goes to show about the sexism in the media. He can do that and kind of put forward the bare minimum apology, and he's instantly forgiven. It's like, oh, like pat on the back, he's such a good guy that he apologized. Yet Britney still like can't even have her own finances
exactly
in control of her life. It's just ridiculous.
I'm actually shocked at the way the media has handled the Justin Timberlake thing. Like it's so obviously a shitty apology. I just thought there would be like how about we have a headline about how that's not a good apology, you know? Instead it's like Justin Timberlake apologizes. No, like this is exactly what's wrong with men these days. Like, geez.
Right. I wonder if he even wrote it himself or it was a publicist.
Probably not. Honestly, probably not.
Yeah.
Do you know about his prenup?
No, I don't.
So his wife said that, like, basically, if he cheats on her, then, like, he has to give her, like, millions of dollars or something, like, if they split up. I heard this, like, a long time ago, but, like, yeah. But I guess they didn't split up, so. But close call last year, I'm mad at him. Moral of the story.
Yeah. I just think something that I really took away from this documentary was that women are treated like such a punchline in this industry, musicians, actresses, whatever. And it really is like a huge critique on how we treat mental health, especially here in the States. And I think that this documentary was, even though it didn't have any solutions or resolutions to it, like we had pointed out, I think it was the start of a really important conversation. And I wonder too, with rising stars, I know the culture is different now than it is, or was rather, in the 90s, but if Britney were to be a young kid starting out now, how different it would be. I'm not sure we would have treated her any different, or if she had her mental breakdown in 2020 and took the buzzers to her head, would we still have laughed at her, or would we have wanted to support her or opened the dialogue for mental health? Like, would she have had her children taken away from her? I don't know. That's something I've been thinking a lot about, is have we changed as a society, or would we still kind of laugh at her, which is just horrible.
Yeah. Those are some really good questions, I think, to ask ourselves and just think about and reflect. Maybe I think from a mental health standpoint, perhaps it would be ever so slightly more compassionate. I don't think the media would ask some of the same questions they've asked her, which is a start, but who knows? Yeah. In terms of like how she'd be treated as a child star, I could honestly say probably the same, if not worse, because I just feel like things are so sexualized now.
And everything's child stars
too. It's just gross. I'm just freaking grossed out with our society, and you know, I hope this can make a change, but we'll just have to wait and see. Jamie Lynn Spears, her younger sister, Zoe 101.
Zoe.
She made an Instagram story basically saying, you know, dear, like to the media, don't repeat the same mistakes that you did last time. Like we saw the effect, which I thought was really powerful, and good. But yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
I wonder how all of this has affected her because there's quite an age gap between her and Brittany, and she kind of got pushed into the spotlight from a very, very young age. That's
Yeah.
something we don't really know too much about either. I don't
Yeah, in terms of like how the case is now, I'm a little confused about what's going on. It's
Aren't
like,
we all?
yeah, like I'm reading this headline, Jamie Spears recently lost a key battle related to Britney's conservatorship. On Thursday, Judge Brenda Penny overruled Jamie Spears' objections to an order establishing Bessemer Trust Co. as a co-conservator of daughter Britney Spears' estate. Jamie previously objected to the conservatorship with Bessemer because it improperly reduced his powers over his daughter's estate. Samuel Ingham, Britney's lawyer, told courtroom on Thursday that it's no secret my client does not want her father as a co-conservator, but we recognize that removal is a separate issue. I just don't like really get this. I feel like it doesn't sound like any progress to me, but
No, and for the amount of court hearings they've had recently, you'd think that more would actually be happening, but it's just not.
yeah, I found it really interesting how they wouldn't even let her have her own lawyer. Like, to me, it just feels very like set up and like shady and like, yeah, shady.
And they're all getting paid by her too, which the documentary pointed out was that she's not only paying for her own lawyers, but she's also paying for the conservators' lawyers, and it's all of her money that she has no control
Oh my
over.
God.
So it's like, and they're making it a business. They mentioned that too. They're not treating it as a conservatorship, they're treating it as a new business
Oh
model.
my God. Yeah, I totally forgot those points. It's
Yeah, like what?
crazy.
We're like, what? That blew my mind. That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It
I
is
hope
sad.
for her sake that she gets a happy resolution and that she's able to distance herself from her father, but I don't know. I don't know what will happen.
Yeah, it I don't know either. It's really hard to feel like positive about it. I feel like it's going to be a little while until we know anything.
Before she'll tell her story herself, it'll probably be a long time.
Yeah. I did see that Netflix is actually going to be putting out a documentary as well about this, which I found
Yes, I saw
interesting.
too.
So I'm not sure when that is, but I'm
I
eager.
saw, I don't know if you follow the Instagram account Dumois. They're like a celebrity gossip, and insiders can email them and DM them, and they
Okay.
don't fact check things, so there's always that risk that they're spreading misinformation. So
Right.
the grain of salt, but they've been posting a lot about this, and apparently executives have sent in claims that there's like three or four different documentaries fighting to get through, and Netflix is going to produce them, but they have a few
Wow.
different options out there. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'll be waiting and I'm eager to watch and learn more. And yeah, I feel a bit hopeless about this and I feel for her and her family, but you know, obviously wish her all the best and
Yeah.
hopefully this can get sorted.
Hopefully, this isn't treated as just another outlet for people to make money off of her, off of this hashtag.
Exactly.
It's a lot more than that. So, hopefully, we just don't repeat the same mistakes and hurting her even more.
100%. Yeah, I think that's all I have about this right now. Little updates are coming kind of every day or so. So, you know, perhaps we'll revisit this conversation a little later into the future, but I've really enjoyed chatting about this with you.
Yeah, you too.
Any additional comments before we close out?
Free Britney.
Yes, hashtag free Britney. Hashtag it's Britney, bitch.
Yeah. That sums it up.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Emma. Where can people find you?
On Instagram, my handle is at Emma's with an underscore jammin' with no G at the end, and on rockandrollreports.com.
Thank you for your time, and thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for your patience. I look forward to the next episode.